You're listening to 91.9 FM, KPTZ, Port Townsend, Treasures and Pleasures, or Pleasures and Treasures, the interchangeably monikered show. And today I have two bizarre girls, Numaka Swan and Carrie Hartman. They are co-owners of this fabulous, not just business, but community center and wonderful place that draws artists interested in knitting, fiber, and all allied crafts. Welcome, Carrie and Numaka.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you have a wonderful little history of how you two got together. So give us the backstory.
We met as caregivers. We were taking care of an older gentleman in Cape George. We were with him for 7 years, and after he passed away, Numaka started a little newspaper that we had for a couple months. We enjoyed that, but we had trouble making a living at it, and we ended up taking over the Twisted U on Washington Street 5 years ago.
You each bring different skills to this amazing partnership. It's a friendship, a partnership, a creative endeavor that grows and changes constantly, because I remember from the early days, and now I see all the things you're expanding into. So talk a little bit about the different strengths each of you bring to the process.
Well, we are definitely opposites. And Carrie is very outgoing and friendly, and the face that people see in the store, and mostly who people associate Bazaar Girls with. And she's an avid knitter, and she's been doing it for a really long time. She's also a hostess and a great communicator and a networker. And I'm more behind the scenes. I like to be like the little fairy that comes in the night and makes everything look beautiful.
And you're also a numbers person, I understand.
And I do the bookkeeping, and I do the website and a lot of the newsletters and a lot of the publishing side of things and the administrative side. And I really like to organize.
Yes.
On some level, I did say in the introduction, and I've experienced it myself, you're also like a community center for like-minded people with these interests in knitting and crafts. And so talk about your community kind of atmosphere and the specific activities you have.
Firstly, I would just like to say that it's not just like-minded people. We have a really strict you can't say, you can't play policy. And it's a place that we don't really discuss politics or religion or that sort of thing. And it's a place where people can come, complete a project, get helped on a project, get inspiration, meet other people. And it's really more about coming together to be creative. And that's the goal of everyone. The goal isn't... there's a common thing that people call Stitch and Bitch. And we were really determined not to name our knitting group Stitch and Bitch because we didn't want to...
Bitch.
Sit around and bitch, yeah. We wanted to... So we nip and knit.
When I said like-minded people, I meant I call them crafties.
Yes, yes.
You are all interested in creating.
Yes.
And in that sense, see, I'm not a like-minded person because I'm all thumbs. So I would come in maybe and watch everybody sip wine or something, but I'm not a like-minded crafter. But I appreciate. In fact, I receive gifts from some of your creators. So all of those are quite welcome. Actually, talk a little bit more about the coming together. We do get the spirit. The spirit is really focused on the craft and focused on helping each other become better and feel relaxed and enjoy doing it and learning.
Yes, yes. And I think for me, you know, Numaka and I both work all the time. We both are juggling all the time. And last night at the end of the day, I finished a hat made out of scrap yarn. And it was the first thing in a long time that I felt like, well, look at that. I finished that. I started it and I finished it. And I have a thing now that's going to keep my head warm. And I think in the modern world, people don't get a lot of that. They don't get a lot of I have this thing that I can do, and it has a start and a beginning, and I created it, and now it's serving a purpose in the world.
And you wanted to add?
I wanted to talk a little bit about and add to what Carrie said about what it is that we offer at Bazaar Girls and why it is that we are more like a community center. And it is true that you know, we do bring people together that are like-minded in craft with our free. We have two free crafting and knitting circles. One's on Thursdays from 5 to 8. Another one is on Sunday afternoons, Crafternoon, from 2 to 5:30. We go beyond that in the community because we see ourselves as being part of this network. Like, we aren't just this store. We're this home for all of these fiber artists and people who dye, people who spin, people who grow sheep and sell their fleece. We're the market where people can come and sell their wares. And even beyond that, we're a meeting place for other people in the community because we work with other businesses and nonprofits that come together into the space. Like, and we do a lot of work with the Boiler Room, with the Film Festival, who's used our space at times, and Key City Playhouse. So we see ourselves as being a larger part of the community, and people come and meet in our, even Kippy started having the caregiving meetings at our shop.
Yeah, it's a welcoming place.
Yes.
And a place where people are kind and gentle and energized about the things they're doing. It's an interesting thing, small businesses in our town. It's no secret that it's difficult to keep a small business going and being both useful and wonderful and loved by the community and profitable for you folks. And it's wonderful how more and more of the businesses, in the way you're doing it, have expanded your services. You're not just selling wool and yarn and teaching knitting. It gets bigger and bigger. And you are part of the larger community. At Pippa's, they do the postcard writing parties for Indivisible. And more businesses are opening their doors to combine. And it's a wonderful thing. You have a website which further describes all these ancillary activities that you've started doing. Could you let the listener know your website?
BazaarGirls.com, BazaarGirls.com.
And I encourage you, listener, to go to that website because it has some very, very exciting and energizing activities displayed, and you learn more about the philosophy of these wonderful young women. And it's a place that'll be your springboard to physically getting to their space and doing all the wonderful things that they do. So that brings me next to a question I haven't asked you. Ask yourselves one and answer it.
How do we go forward is the question that we ask ourselves all the time. And how do we keep all the balls in the air that we're juggling? We have mapped it out. Numaka has mapped it out. We've talked about it a lot, and we really know that we have to expand beyond just the retail store. Last year, we had our first retreat. We had 35 people come in from all over the country, and we had classes at the Maritime Center, and they stayed in area hotels, and we're planning another one this year. We're hoping to get 40 or 50. We're hoping to involve more hotels, more caterers. Everybody in Port Townsend has to think about what they're doing in the off season, what they're going to do for road construction, it's always staying one step ahead.
Well, let me make sure my understanding of this retreat is correct. First of all, do you accept virgin knitters like me?
Not for this sort of thing. I mean, okay. We have introductory classes all the time available, and we always accept virgin knitters. In fact, deflowering virgin knitters is one of my favorite things.
I'm getting tempted.
There you go. But the retreats are focused more on wooing really world-famous teachers and getting people to actually buy a plane ticket and spend a significant amount of money to be able to spend time with this teacher. The next one we're having is going to have Beth, and I can never remember her last name.
Beth Reinzel.
She teaches knitting Gansey sweaters, so she actually literally wrote the book on knitted Ganseys, which is the traditional English...
Irish
fisherman sweater. It's not the one that you think of with the tourists and the great big cables. It's an older design, and it has a very specific tradition, and I'm just excited to be teaching that class at the Maritime Center with this famous teacher. I mean, that's the type of thing. Port Townsend survives by being a destination, and we've really been proud to be a part of that destination quality. I mean, we've worked to not just have a yarn shop, but to have a yarn shop that people talk about. And we have people from all over the country come in all the time and say, I've never seen this before. I've never seen this before. I've been knitting for 20 years. I've never seen this brand before or this type of yarn before. And it's because we don't meet with a huge rep and fill our shelves with stuff that, you know, anybody can buy. We seek out small producers. We've worked with the mill on Whidbey Island. We've worked with at least half a dozen locally owned, women-owned businesses. And when we go beyond local, we still go for the same quality. We still have American-made or family-owned or natural fibers. We really aren't just putting widgets on the shelf and marking them up so that we can make a profit. We're really honoring the craft from the beginning to the end.
Well, also jumping off from that, I've been to a few gallery walks that have taken me to your store. The next one is October 7th. It really is a place of art. Everything that you buy and promote there and put on the walls and put on the hangers and shelves, it has its own beauty and its own place. And the environment, there's a deck in nice weather. We just sat out there and looked at the water after we finished wandering through your store. So it's a wonderful place. It's a go-to place because it's welcoming, it's pretty, and it has a deck on the water. So I just want to let people know that. And I get the impression that you take put a lot of energy into your displays and
well, that's what I was talking about when I said the fairy that comes in the night and makes things beautiful is that's what I do is I
Numaka is not as shy as she appears, by the way, because she does come out from under her tunnel and appears at gallery walk.
Yes. I'm excited to actually talk about the gallery walk that we have coming up.
Oh, so, let's hear about it.
Well, we have a really special gallery walk planned this month, and you can learn more about it on our website, but...
Repeat the website, please.
BazaarGirls.com, BazaarGirls.com. This next gallery walk is going to just be a really good example of what we do because we're going to have a local artist, Faith, who you will love. I don't know what else to say. We love. We will have a local filmmaker who does stop motion animation and wool. We've been building credit with her for 4 years, Andrea Love. And she's produced a short film for us. And we will also have an indie dyer. So three very different types of artists, all women this time, and all from within our community and our larger community. And we will also both be there to kind of discuss where we're going next and how we can continue this adventure that we started
That keeps growing.
That keeps growing.
And in divergent ways, which is very exciting. Where can we see the motion animated film?
It's on our website.
Oh, listen, listeners, you get a free film on their website. That's cool.
Yes, it's on our website, and we'd really encourage you to go through the whole site and come at Gallery Walk to ask us any questions. Bazaar Girls is, we're at a precipice in a way, and we're kind of launching a lot of new directions that we really are welcoming community input and community help on, and that's also a big part of why we're having this gallery walk. We really want to hear from our community, and we want to kind of show off to our community a little bit. We we work really hard and we are a little proud of ourselves. Yes.
And also Faith is baking goodies. Yes. So.
Oh, there you go. Well, and, you know, this is also triggering a memory. Sweet Laurette, when she was on at a turning point on a bit of a precipice, because let's be frank, running a small business in a small town with a large dead season in the winter is tough. She put out the word, honestly, about that situation, and she also started doing diverse and different things. She started a Wednesday afternoon thing that went along with Farmer's Market out on the patio and all sorts of different things. So you're following in some very good footsteps. And what I'll say about those footsteps is authenticity. You know, you're telling the truth about the challenges. You're not going under because of challenges. You're more inspired to be adventurous and to seek new aspects to your program. And you're enjoying the new directions that you're going in, as is the community. Because, you know, I used to teach aspirations workshops to women when I was a therapist. And the first thing I used to have them do when they were worried or dissatisfied is, I called it make of the job a new job. And what you're all in the process of doing is you're making of the business an expanded new business. And yes. I think that retreat idea is amazing, and it's going to be like Centrum. It's going to just explode over time, but it's a lot of work.
Yes, and that's really the heart of the matter for us, is that we grew so quickly, and Carrie and I, in the past 5 years, have worked thousands of unpaid hours to create this. And there are we have the marketplace, the classroom, and the retreat. So it's a lot for us to sustain on our own. And as it's going, moving into the next step and growing, we're asking ourselves that question: how are we ourselves going to take it there and be able to put out enough energy to maintain it?
Yeah, you don't want to burn out.
Exactly.
But you also may evolve a group of volunteers to help with specific projects in exchange for being part of those projects, that kind of stuff.
We've already had that. We have customers that come in and say, what can we do this weekend? But we're ready for more. We really do want to invite people to this gallery walk and really have an opportunity to discuss what we're doing and where we want to go and how the community can kind of be a part of that.
And find a very special retreat for themselves. I mean, the store itself is a retreat. It's funny because when I heard about a yarn store, I always get personal in my interviews. I remember my child care was in my Aunt Sadie's yarn store.
Aww.
I used to sit there, but all she did was, you know, she sold yarn and she knitted all day. And and then when I see what you two are doing, I just wish she were around to experience what you're up to in the field and how you've expanded your notion of the field. Give us a little more about both your backgrounds and what brought you to Port Townsend. I think the people who are coming into this wonderful community center / knitting / crafts store and operation want to know who's in there.
Well, for me, I live downtown. I work downtown. For as long as I can remember, have been really interested in living in kind of a butcher, baker, candlestick maker type world. I like to walk to the bakery. I like to walk to the movies. I like the fact that this is the wrong town for Rite Aid. I like all those things about Port Townsend. So my husband brought me out here. He was familiar with the area and had a dairy background. And I, you know, at 30-something, when I moved out here, felt home. You know, I've lived all over the country, but Port Townsend feels like home.
So how long have you been here?
15 years.
And what about you, Numaka? What brought you here?
I grew up in Montana and lived in Alaska for 10 years. And when I moved down to Washington, my parents had moved to the Olympia area, and I was a single mom with 3 children. And just was traveling the peninsula and found Port Townsend. Like Carrie said, it felt like home. and it felt like a really great place to raise my children, and I've been here for 14 years.
Well, lucky us that we have the two of you, this wonderful facility in town, a place to come among the many others on Gallery Walk Day. Give the location of your shop.
It's 126 Quincy Street.
And it's Quincy and Water.
Yes.
You just walk down Water, make a right on Quincy, follow the water, and you'll be there.
By the old ferry dock.
By the old ferry. That's right. When you sit on that deck and look at the water, you can look at the boats also. I don't divide them. Anyway, I would like to thank Carrie Hartman, Numaka Swan, Bazaar Girls. They have been our wonderful guests today. They are indeed Treasures and Pleasures. And this is Treasures and Pleasures, Pleasures and Treasures, the interchangeably monikered show. I'm Marcia Pearlstein, your friendly neighborhood interviewer. I'd like to again thank our guests.
Thank you for having us.
Special thanks to Mike Schlexer, production coordinator, Larry Stein, program director, Robert Ambrose, acting director and board president. Go gently. If you can't go gently, go as gently as you can.